In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
And welcome. This is the I Spy Radio Show, where every week we help you get a little more intelligence on big government. This week, it is definitely about big government because there is a tremendous danger right now, a virus of big government tyranny that we're seeing play out right here in Oregon. In case you missed it, Republicans have walked out of the Capitol to deny Democrats a quorum on the cap and trade bill. And the Democrats' response? Go full-blown socialist tyranny, issuing subpoenas against their political opponents, demanding the Republicans come back so Democrats can pass whatever they want. Well, enough is enough, and good for the Republicans for walking out. This tyranny of one-party rule has to stop. And this week, we're starting the discussion of how to do that. Look at what's happening on the national level and the coronavirus. Everything the Democrats wanted to do would have put us in more danger, not less. Trump, on the other hand, shut down travel between China and the U.S. Democrats complained and demanded travel be reopened. If the Democrats had had their way, we could have had thousands of cases of the virus in the United States by now, not the 50-some we have instead. Trump pushed tariffs on China, which not only forced China to make the trade deal, the additional cost meant many companies began re-examining their supply chain, moving plants, equipment, and personnel out of China months ago to other countries, even back to the United States. But if Democrats had had their way, there would be no trade deal, and changes to the supply chain would be 6 to 9 months behind where they are right now. Everything the Democrats demanded, if they'd gotten their way, would have put America in a worse place. I don't know what's happening with the Democrat Party. They used to be as patriotic as Republicans. I still think most everyday Democrats are patriotic, but your leaders are failing you. Something has happened to make them anti-American. Even if their heart is still with America, their actions say otherwise. Something has happened there. Something is deeply wrong with the Democrat Party. They have a socialist poised to take the candidacy. A socialist. Have the Democrats already forgotten what the Cold War was about the dangers of socialism and communism? I've said it before, Democrats are the worst brand ambassadors for socialism. They use the government to spy on their opponents. They use Pravda, known as the mainstream media, to create a false narrative about Russia collusion to the point 3.5 years later, many people still believe it. Democrats have used the courts to attack and literally jail their political opponents. So why on earth would you want to give them more power? Socialism is about total control. Look at Oregon. The supermajority Democrat Party hasn't listened at all to the Republicans or their constituents on this cap and trade bill. They wouldn't listen last session either and rammed through billions in new taxes, including the corporate activities tax, also known as the business sales tax. Now, once again, they refuse to listen to Republicans or rural Oregonians, leaving the Republicans with no choice but to walk out. So how do the Socialist Democrats respond? Late Thursday, House Democrats issued subpoenas to force Republicans to come back. What's next? Arrest warrants? Over in the Senate, Democrats advanced a bill to ban Republicans from using their own campaign funds to pay for expenses or fines resulting from the walkout, fines that Democrats will impose on Republicans. Well, isn't that nice? The Democrats are fining their political opposition, and then on top of it, use the power of the government to tell the other party how they're allowed to spend their money. Look at them. This is what one-party rule has done. They are so corrupted with power, they want to jail their opponents when they won't vote as they're told to vote. And Democrats have done nothing to help everyday Oregonians. You know, Democrats say Oregon must want a cap-and-trade bill, otherwise they wouldn't have given Democrats a supermajority in the first place. Democrats say Republicans aren't doing their job by not being in the building. Yes, the Democrats think it is the Republicans' job to let Democrats pass whatever they want. Republicans are doing their job. They were elected to stand up to Democrats. They were elected to defend the interests of their constituents who do not want a carbon cap and trade bill. They don't want to listen to your solutions. because they see you as the problem. Right now, there is only one party in Oregon that is standing up for rural areas and standing in the way of urban Democrats who don't understand the country, who don't understand how food gets to market or any of the other natural resources, but somehow think that they can tell the people in those rural areas what to do and how to do it. In 2020, as Democrats lurch towards tyranny, there are tremendous opportunities for conservatives and Timber Unity and the Slavic community and others who have been awakened to what Democrats are doing, who want to run every aspect of your life, what you can do, how you can do it, and then demand even higher taxes on top of it. Enough. It is time to retake government. Now, you know I'm not always a fan of the Republican Party as an organization. I have been critical of them, and I think that's actually part of my role here on the radio, to raise awareness of problems. Without it, problems don't get fixed. Or worse, they get swept under the carpet. And it's not in my nature to remain silent when I see a problem or when I see people who should know better make obvious mistakes or when organizations don't measure up. But for now, it's time to put away our swords. Because right now, Republicans are the only thing standing between the America as we know it and Venezuela-style chaos and the tyranny of one-party rule here in Oregon. I'd like to welcome now Kevin Hoard to the show. Kevin is the Communications Director for the Oregon Republican Party. That's the ORP. Kevin, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be on, Mark.
Yeah, so simply put, for our listeners that are really kind of new to party politics, I think with the Timber Unity and the Slavic community really getting involved in politics now, the ORP itself may be a bit of a mystery. What exactly does the ORP do?
So the ORP, it's the Oregon affiliate of the National Party. It actually consists of or is composed of in the state the 36 county parties, kind of like the branch office in every county. Now, the purpose of the party is to advance the public policies that are outlined in the platform. The platform captures what does the party in Oregon stand for? What are our policy principle statements? What would we like to see? Then we also are the entity that captures the interests of all the coalitions that are represented in that platform and creates a united front, a team, if you will, that constantly has new people joining. And some of the groups that you were talking about before, Timber Unity, the Slavic Coalition, the Medical Freedom, these are people that are entering the process and they're invigorating the party. And this is a constant cycle that's going on. The leadership of the party then is meant to direct and try to coordinate efforts to accumulate resources to then carry that through.
Now, what about candidates? Talk a little bit about that process.
The party in the primary technically is neutral. If there are multiple Republican candidates competing, then we more or less oversee the process and give access to the grassroots membership, these precinct committee persons. We work with them to make sure that they get sort of the insider view. They get to talk to these candidates. They get to vet them. They get to say, okay, where do you stand on this? How credible is your campaign, et cetera? So those candidates, some of them self-recruit. Some people have been planning for years to run for different offices. I think we've seen in the second congressional district that there are a whole bunch of people that wanted to step up and run for that district once Greg Walden, the incumbent, decided that he wanted to retire, because Republicans retire. Democrats actually have to be defeated out of office because they never want to leave politics For them, this is a permanent career. But Republicans, we actually have lives outside of politics and government, and we don't worship government. So we're looking actually to circulate in and circulate out. And that's what's happening in the second district. We do take a constructive role in trying to assist candidates, depending on what level of office it is. The state party will have more of a role, of course, in statewide offices, perhaps in congressional districts to some extent, in being constructive and helping make sure that candidates do step forward and run for these positions. Then there's the state house and state senate districts. There, that's actually often done more locally because we don't know everybody in the state. I don't know every county commissioner in the state, but the people in the county parties do. And then we operate, the state party operates alongside caucus entities who actually have a different role.
Right.
And and when people say, you know, Republicans are recruiting people for this office, it's usually a caucus entity that's doing that.
Right.
So that's... Sorry, go ahead.
You know, you mentioned the different factions. Creating unity is not always easy, and we're going to examine the ORP in more depth and deal with some of the challenges that the ORP faces coming up in some later segments. But in the next segment, many of you know that I was blocked by the ORP's Twitter account. We'll talk about that next. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kevin Hoare. He is the communications director for the ORP. That's the Oregon Republican Party. And kind of a get-to-know-you show here, really, for the ORP, in case you're not particularly familiar with it. But, you know, I would like to get something out of the way, because listeners and anyone who follows me on Twitter knows that I was blocked by the official ORP Twitter account for asking a question that someone had sent to me to ask the ORP about open seats. And there's two questions on this. One, why did I get blocked? And then second, one of our listeners wanted me to ask you in particular, is this typical of the ORP that they block people? And how can they do that when public officials like Trump have been ordered by courts to not block people?
I'll take the second question first. So public officials, like the president, the laws and the jurisprudence on that are such that because they are, he's the president of everyone in the United States, they are not allowed to actually block people. And that's gone through the courts, not only at the federal level, but also at lower levels. I believe there's been similar cases dealt with where the mayor of Portland and some local elected officials attempted to do this, and then someone sued, and then they got it unblocked. The state party is a different kind of entity. It's really more of a private organization relative to, say, a public elected official. And so there's obviously greater discretion with that. Also, we are advancing and promoting not only the party's point of view, which, as you know, we talked about in the previous segment about the platform, but also advancing our point of view with regard to what the Democrats are doing and what they stand for. And that's the general purpose of all of the social media presence, the website, the messaging that we do. And so there's it's a different framework for how the party operates. So therefore, unlike the president, who puts out his what he says and then people just react to it because he's the president of all Americans, the party is a political action committee. It's there to achieve political action. And so that's the reason why I think it operates differently. The party and its social media entities, we have a team of volunteers that try to oversee it, maintain it, make sure that it serves that purpose. And for the most part, we're staying focused on the Democrats. There are avenues that questions are asked, but for the most part, social media hasn't. It's been more of a tool for us to promote message we're putting out, and then people react to that message, as opposed to, say, contacting the party office or sending them an email and say, I got a question, could you answer this? I don't know, does that kind of address at least the second part of your question?
Well, I think we've addressed in terms of that it's legal for the ORP to block people. But the question was, I was simply asking a question, can the ORP address this? And had to do with open seats that don't have any Republicans running. So why would I get blocked for that?
I don't know. I don't actually myself recall seeing the specific post. And people do at times block things, misunderstanding what the purpose is or the intent. I think I actually got involved, and specifically when you brought it to my attention, made sure that it got unblocked. And I do know that when you're working with volunteers, you know, that's the one thing, is that Republicans, we actually tend to work with volunteers who have day jobs. It's not a tightly managed, you know, rigid organization. Democrats, on the other hand, have a lot of organizations with paid staff here in the state. they have an institutional advantage. Unions pour money into their organizations, and they hire a bunch of staff. And so maybe it's possible that the blocking of it was just kind of inadvertent or misunderstood, but I think we've tried to straighten it out. And I do know that the only guide rule that people are trying to follow in managing these accounts is to stay focused on the Democrats, because they actually are the supermajority party in the state. They've controlled the governor's office for, 35 years?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what that was one of the reasons why it shocked people, myself included, because I've been a lifelong Republican, and it's kind of shocking to get blocked by your own state party. But I did have two of my listeners ask me essentially the same question to have you answer it, which was they were curious if I'd been blocked by the ORP Twitter managers because they thought I was advancing Sam Carpenter. And if so, does that mean people who support Sam Carpenter or who tend to be more conservative Republicans aren't necessarily welcome in the ORP?
Well, I think there's actually lots of conservative Republicans, myself included, involved with and managing the affairs of the ORP. So there's plenty of conservative Republicans welcome in the ORP. On the other hand, I would have to say that there's actually only one chairman right now. And that chairman is the one who's trying to get messages out that go after the Democrats, criticize what they're doing. There's plenty to criticize. If anything, I would say that the people that are helping manage the Twitter account are erring on that side of the equation. So if it was a misunderstanding, I hope we've cleared it up. But there's actually plenty of conservative Republicans involved in the party. I find it interesting, too, sometimes people are saying, well, I don't know if there's enough conservatives involved with the party. And then they go to a meeting and they find a room full of people in violent agreement with them on the issues, which is actually what people said when it was brought to my attention. You know, Mark Anderson, he's with us and he's conservative. And I'm like, yeah, great. That's what we want. So I would say that's probably the emphasis, is that we're trying to stay focused on the weaknesses of the Democrats. And we're trying to make sure that we drive messages that reduce their power in the state.
And I think there are some tremendous opportunities for that. And we'll deal with that in the next segment. And I should mention that, yes, I have been unblocked now by the official ORP. But since then, I've now found out that I've been blocked by the Multnomah County GOP. Go figure. Anyway, yeah. We'll talk more with Kevin Hoare about some of those tremendous opportunities for the ORP. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show, talking today about the ORP. That's the Oregon Republican Party. And we're talking with Kevin Hoare. He is the communications director for the ORP. And, you know, Oregon is really known as a blue state. We've been that way for quite a while. But before then, we were very red. And so I'd really like to spend some time talking with you about the opportunities, I think, coming up in Oregon for Republicans, because I think there's a lot of opportunities here. And so what is the ORP strategy right now to win back seats and really break the Democrat stranglehold on both the state House and the Senate?
I think it's threefold. Part of that is constantly reaching out and trying to include in a unified coalition many of the folks that are now getting involved.
Yes.
The Timber Unity folks, almost a third of them, appear to be Democrats or non-affiliated voters. So they've just woken up to the fact that the Democrat Party doesn't care about them and actually is out to hurt them and doesn't even want to hear from them. So that process is going on constantly. I've been involved long enough to remember the Tea Party movement and how that actually at first was like, oh, all these new people. People are like, you know, why, where are these guys coming from? They don't know what they're doing. It's the party's job to include them, to integrate them. It's obligatory. And that's what's happening today. It's what happened 10 years ago. A lot of the folks that are considered old timers now were people that first got involved in the Tea Party movement.
Yes.
So that is the grassroots base and coalition, constantly trying to grow that, expand it, and include new people who suddenly realize, wait a second, I'm not involved or I'm in the wrong party and it's time to get involved. The second phase of that, I'd say that strategy, is that we need to work very hard to get our message out. That's something I stepped up to try and do. Previous to me being involved with the communications operation, it wasn't something that was as active. And I, in particular, got involved when I realized that we needed someone to handle the communications operations heading into the 2020 convention. You know, the delegation that goes to that, which is elected by PCPs, by the way, that delegation gets a ton of media inquiries. And we get a lot of media opportunities. I'm like, well, we can't let this go to waste. I've stayed involved with it ever since. And I think that getting those messages out, particularly not only in support of the president, but also to make sure that people have a better understanding of what the Democrats are doing to us and at times not for us.
That's right.
In Salem. Yep. And then the third phase is working actively with legislators and with potential candidates to make it so that they have the best chance of success. Some of that in the party's specific role happens in the general election. We organize campaign offices, and we work at times with the local parties who are, as I mentioned before in a previous segment, our branch offices on the ground. You know, the state party isn't everywhere, but the county parties are. And then we act in a support role to assist them, to garner resources, to work with the national party, who at times does actually identify and an attempt to support specifically our efforts in this state. And I've seen elections where that's more and elections where that's less. And it really depends sometimes what's happening in the national party, which is now very strong and very well financed. At times it hasn't been in the past.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of what you're saying folds in well with my own thinking on this, which is that I just think there's a lot of opportunities here within Oregon, and I think in large part due thanks to Timber Unity. And I'm so glad to see that the Republican senators and then later the House followed their lead to walk out of the building, because SB 1530, the cap and trade bill, the Democrats were not listening to anything. They shouldn't have been doing this in the first place in a short session, I don't think. But none of that bill is going to accomplish anything other than funding Democrats, from what I can see. It's not going to have any impact on climate change. But I think it was so vital for those Republicans to walk out, because it really showed Timber Unity and all of these other new entrants into politics, the Slavic community and so on, showed that, yes, the Republicans will stand up for your issues. People out in the voting public, people will fight for fighters. And by walking out, it really showed Timber Unity that they have an ally in this. And I really can't say how important that is, that you then want to go fight for them. And that's why I think the Republicans really have a tremendous opportunity within this. Can you give us some updates, really, where the walkout is, and is there any chance that they'd come back?
I know that there's constantly discussions and negotiations going on between the Republican leaders and Kate Brown and the Speaker and the Senate President. But the Democrats really seem to have convinced themselves that this is a good strategy to come in and abuse a short session, which is so short that they don't even have time actually to hold significant hearings, to receive public input, and at times they don't even give anyone sufficient ability to read the amendments that are being offered. One was 177 pages. It was provided the night before a vote in a committee the next day. Not only does that not give the public a chance to review it and have input on it doesn't even give the legislators.
You have to pass it so you know what's in it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are thinking. And I think Nancy Pelosi proved in the past that that was a great way to lose your majority. And though the path to winning a majority in Oregon is perhaps something that doesn't always happen in one election cycle, it's the direction that they've taken it. Yes. And I don't think they're unrepentant, because remember, we've seen this. This is a rerun. This is a rerun of what we saw in 2019, and they were unrepentant then.
Yes, absolutely.
The only thing I've noticed they've done differently is they haven't immediately sent the state police after the legislators. But, you know,
Well, that might be coming. Yeah, I was going to say that might be coming. So, all right, everyone, stay with us. We need to take a little break here. Come back. We'll continue this with Kevin Hoare. He's the communications director for the ORP. Stay with us. Back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kevin Hoare. He's the communications director for the ORP. That's the Oregon Republican Party. Kevin, if people want to find out about the ORP, what's your guys' website?
It's www.oregon.gop.
Pretty simple. And I've noticed that you've got all of the contact information for some of those counties that are up there, for all of the counties. Although there was a couple that did not have contact information. In fact, Gilliam, do they not have a chair? Do they not have an organized party there?
Sometimes that happens. If someone decides to step down, and it's a very, very small population in that county. So we're really talking about like dozens of precinct committee persons in that county. It takes some time to get those counties organized again. And that's something the state party does have a role in assisting. But it, like I said, when you're talking about dozens of precinct committee persons, it is not always easy to make that happen because that's a bottom up thing. You know, we can set a meeting time and a date, but there have to be people that are willing to come to the meeting and step into leadership roles. And so, we're always working at that. There's usually four counties where this happens at times, and they're counties that are very small. Relative to the rest of the state.
Well, and I think that's an opportunity for our listeners as well. If you're out there, you're part of the Timber Unity movement, or if you're part of the Slavic community and all of these other ones that now have suddenly woke up to what the Democrats are trying to do, guess what? There are opportunities to walk into some of these county parties, get involved, become a PCP, and then you can help make the Oregon Republican Party stronger and more conservative. If you don't think they're conservative enough, well, get involved. Kevin, in terms of becoming a PCP, I think since I just mentioned that, let's deal with that. In terms of becoming a PCP, what's the process for that?
So during this time, and actually the laws changed recently to extend and make that time longer, you simply get a form, which you can download as an Adobe PDF file, or you can physically go get it from the elections office in your county. Is a PCP filing form. You just fill it out, you submit it. It's good to talk to the existing county party just to make sure that they're aware that you're filing, only because there's the ability to allocate positions outside of the exact precinct that you live in case there's a bunch of people have already filed in the existing precinct. So that's the only suggestion I have, is you get the form, you fill it out, you file it, but you also make sure that the county party knows and can maybe give you a little input before you file it on file for this precinct, not that one, only because we'd like to have all the positions filled.
Right. Well, I'd like to go back to the walkout.
I should have mentioned, actually, so that's to file right now before the Tuesday in March, the filing deadline. I believe it's the second Tuesday. And that's to appear on the ballot that Republicans will receive for the May election, the May primary election. That's where precinct committee persons get elected every 2 years.
Right. They get a little slip and it comes from the elections offices. And so if you've already filled out that form, your name will be on that. So people can just check your name or whatever.
Exactly.
Versus you can have a write-in, but you have to have, I think, a minimum of three people from that district vote for you. But yeah, you can certainly do that with your family members or neighbors or whatnot. But I'd like to get back to the walkout issue, because I really do think that this is energizing the base here. Just briefly, though, there were some Republicans who did not walk out. They are both from Bend. I think there's another one, too, in the House that didn't walk out. But and I realize that they're doing it because they think they're protecting their seat. But I really disagree with that. As I said previously, people fight for fighters. They don't fight for people who don't show political courage. But that brings up a bigger point, is how do you make Republicans and the ORP as a whole tougher and more ready for this fight, that they don't wilt under pressure? Because I think that's been the perception a lot of times, that Republicans too often, especially in Washington, don't fight and too often cave to pressure. And you look at somebody like a Jeff Flake in the Kavanaugh hearings. How do you get that spine of steel for Republicans?
Well, the biggest thing that people could do right now is message their legislators, not just the ones that perhaps haven't participated in the walkout yet, but actually the ones who have.
Yes.
Because they're getting hammered. The other side's very organized. They got all these Soros and Tom Steyer funded organizations that organize calls, are hammering their offices with emails and phone calls. And what they need to do is they need to hear from us that they have people that have their back. That was really, in the end, the whole purpose, besides sending a message to Democrats, is really to send a message to Republicans during the Timber Unity rally on February 6th that we've got them, that that we're with you, that actually, did you notice this time that the House actually walked out? That didn't happen last year.
No, it didn't. And that's really cool. And that's why it was so critical that those Republicans did, in fact, walk out, because it showed not only that we hear you on your issue, but we're willing to go to bat for you. And those actions speak so much louder than any words. I think there's another big opportunity here that for Republicans that really isn't being reported much in the mainstream, which is Governor Kate's bribery and extortion of Republicans trying to stop them from walking out. What can you talk to our audience about that?
Yeah, she tries to wheel and deal. Sometimes they try the velvet glove. Sometimes they try the velvet hammer. But they go and they try to, at times, dangle things out, which is something you see in the legislative process all the time, say, well, this thing that you want could happen if you just cave and go along with this. Sometimes they actually threaten, like they did in 2019, funding that's supposed to go to locales, cities and counties. And then they call that in 2019, they called the mayors and the county commissioners and said, you know what, this stuff might not happen for you. You might not get anything if you don't go and call the state legislator and threaten them.
And I just think that is so despicable. And that's what I wish Republicans right now that have felt that pressure, I really wish they would help get that message out. Hey, she was essentially trying to extort my vote. Because that's how I see that. So, let's go and take a break there. Come back. So you've thought about running for office? Well, we'll have some information for you. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're talking today to Kevin Hoare. He's the communications director for the ORP. That's the Oregon Republican Party. You can find their website at oregon.gop if you'd like to find out more information about them. And Kevin, in that previous segment there, we were talking about some of the wheeling and dealing that Governor Kate has been doing. And you have some inside information on some of these deals that have just made your head spin. Go ahead and share that with us before we get around to running for office.
Yes, I'd be happy to share it with you. And the funny thing is, neither one of them really should be inside information. But in one example, the bill itself, the Senate Bill 1530, actually has a section in it that's supposed to govern how all of the monies that come in from the cap and trade taxes that they're going to impose, which are significant, like 72 cents a gallon gas, et cetera. That section basically doesn't offer any detail. It just says whatever the unelected bureaucrats say the process is, which is extremely dangerous, because that means that whatever money comes in, which isn't required necessarily to go and reduce greenhouse gases, could go to anything. And we won't know if the people that are actually receiving those funds to do various projects are campaign contributors to the Democrats or not. It's scary.
Well, we can pretty much guarantee that.
I think you can assume it, but if we look at the history of the business energy tax credit, which was a previous boondoggle that attempted to do some of this, people went to jail because of that.
Yes, I happen to know personally some people that went to jail over that.
And it's frightening that there's a section in the bill that you're actually not allowed to know any of the details of.
Yeah, Section 32 blocks the public records requests. It's just amazing to watch all of this unfold. And I personally think a lot of it happened because that the Trump administration is really starting to cut back on EPA. They've already announced they want to cut back the funding on that, a minimum of 26%. And when you start cutting things back like that, suddenly they have to pay attention to their actual mission, which is protecting the environment and not just handing out grants and all of these other little cash for Democrats type of projects that they end up doing. So I think it's atrocious, really, what SB 1530 is doing. And we just don't have we have not in this session been able to crack that nut open wide enough.
There's not time. It's a short session. It wasn't designed for this. It was designed for tiny budget tweaks because of changes in revenue. This is not what's happening.
No, absolutely not. So one of our listeners would like to know if how to become more involved in politics and also if they had if they're interested in running for office. What are the steps for that?
So one of the best things to do, the first thing to do, is to contact your local county party. They have meetings. They actually know the folks locally, and they know what the positions are that people are running for, or that they're looking for people to run for. The second option is, of course, if it's for a state legislative position, you can contact the state Republican caucus in the House or the Senate. They work with people, and they're always looking for folks to run for different offices, and they actually have a lot of knowledge and resources that can be brought to bear immediately. Also, the state party, who can help you connect with these both of these types of entities, is somebody you can call as well, and you can find all that information at oregon.gop.
Okay. And another listener had asked, too, how she can support candidates outside of the obvious donating money part.
Well, I would say that the county party is one of your first stops, because they have campaign offices where if you can't give money, you can certainly give time. And time is one of the most important things that people do provide. They knock doors for candidates. They help get signs put up. They put up signs themselves around the county, around the different locations where people will see them to get the name ID up. And also, I think it's very important at times to make sure that your voice is heard by going on social media, taking information like what is coming out right now from Republicans about the walkout and sharing it with folks, sharing it with your circle of friends. That actually expands it and prepares the ground for these candidates when they run.
I think in terms of running for office, I think a lot of these candidates would be very buoyed if Trump was to suddenly appear in Oregon. Is there any chance of that happening?
I say it's greater than zero. And the reason why I say that, well, is because Oregon's like everyone else in the country's future. The battle we're having over cap and trade is really just a surrogate battle for what will happen at the national level.
That's very
true.
If
Democrats get more power and there's a Green New Deal. And so fight this battle in Oregon, help us here, but also keep in mind that the president sees this as a perfect opportunity to not only compare what he's running on with what the Democrats are running on. Oregon is the example of where the Democrats are trying to do it to us. But I also add, we got loads of forgotten men and women. Before there was a timber unity movement, he was pointing out that there are forgotten men and women everywhere. I would say that's what the Democrats have demonstrated, is they don't really care about the people in the timber unity movement. There's a lot of them in parts of the state that I think present opportunities, and who knows, maybe that's where the president will actually consider visiting.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, we had said earlier that people will fight for fighters, and in some ways it sounds like you're saying Trump will come here to fight for the people who have his back and also want to support his agenda. I can certainly see that. If we can show enough momentum here, maybe Trump really would come. Is there any benchmarks or anything like that in terms of what the Trump organization is looking at?
Well, I don't really have a lot of detail that I can share on that, but I can say that they watch and see. They do watch donations and funding. That's always a key. But they also look at this entire timber unity movement and the Slavic coalition, and frankly, a surrogate for demonstrating strength could also be another recall, which it seems like that's almost inevitable. Mm. And the state party is just part of a coalition of people that are looking at doing this.
We certainly know that Trump was paying attention to timber unity. He had them out there to the White House, so I think that's a good indicator. All right, yep. Everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Kevin Hoare, Communications Director for the ORP. Stay with us. And welcome back into our final segment now here on the iSpy Radio Show. We've been talking with Kevin Hoare. He's the communications director for the ORP. That's the Oregon Republican Party. You can find their website at oregon.gop. They've got great links to all of the individual county parties if you'd like to go find yours and get involved. And so, Kevin, in that last segment, we talked a little bit about how to run for office. Let's talk about some of the open seats and opportunities here in Oregon. Are there races in particular that you think the Republicans are going to be very competitive?
Yes, I think that congressional races, the 4th congressional district and the 5th congressional district, obviously in addition to the 2nd, which is Greg Walden's current district, I think the 4th district and the 5th district are looking very interesting and strong. We've got in the 5th district a fake moderate, Kurt Schrader, claims himself to be a blue dog, yet he voted for impeachment and he voted with the Democrats on everything. So fake moderate. In the 4th district, we've got Peter DeFazio, a co-sponsor of the Green New Deal, who clearly doesn't care anymore about what his constituents think. He's also failed at probably the key thing that the chairman of the Transportation Committee shouldn't fail at, which is an infrastructure bill. We don't have one, and apparently he's powerless to do anything about it. Time for him to move on.
Yes.
I would add the Secretary of State's race statewide is really important. We saw that Dennis Richardson proved that this is actually at times a purplish state, and he won that for the first time since 1976 for Republicans. Kim Thatcher, state senator, very knowledgeable, excellent candidate. We're excited about her. And of course, the state treasurer's race has Jeff Goodman, who 4 years ago came within 2% of winning. And there was a third party former Republican candidate in that race who took 9%, and she's now endorsing him and not running. So we think that's actually another possibility. Then, of course, there's a myriad of state House and state Senate races. Some are in targeted areas where we think we have an opportunity to take those back. And there are some people that are retiring on the Democrat side, which are giving us open seat opportunities. I believe one I can name off the top of my head is the one in Coos Bay, where Arnie Roblin has decided not to continue. He was generally seen as kind of a moderate or what they think is conservative Democrat. I'm not sure that exists anymore, but he's going to have an opponent in that race who nearly beat him just 4 years ago by hundreds of votes he lost.
Hmm. Well, I can't figure out Coos Bay sometimes when it comes to somebody like a Roblin, because Coos Bay tends to be very conservative. They've certainly been very supportive of the Timber Unity movement. I know that the Jordan Cove issue is a big one down there as well. And yet Roblin got elected. I can't figure that one. I mean, he was the main driver behind Senate Bill 1530, the cap and trade bill.
He is now, but, you know, he was somebody who was opposed to it a year ago, but I guess when you're retiring and looking at where your golden parachute might be coming from,
yeah,
you don't care anymore. And yeah. So maybe he never really did care about the constituents. I think that's going to play into this next race.
Well, what can you tell us about the Jordan Cove situation there? Because I know that they've just hit all sorts of roadblocks on there, but it sounds like the Trump administration is trying to do some maneuvering to finally move that forward.
So in 2014... John Kitzhaber was supposedly neutral on this. There were even some U.S. senators. One of the two, I think, Wyden, was actually like, well, that's kind of a good idea. Peter DeFazio, kind of a good idea. But they have done everything to delay it and sit on it. What's changed is that President Trump, who doesn't care about whether these guys don't want it or not, because he knows that this is actually what the people of the 4th District want, what people of Coos County actually want. When an attempt to prevent this from going forward was on the ballot, 70% of the people of Coos County voted in favor of letting this happen. That's a big deal. So
sure.
There's an opportunity for a $10 billion development project. Thousands of family wage jobs can come from this. And it becomes an opportunity for us to be an exporter of natural gas to places like China. It will even reduce carbon dioxide emissions because people can use natural gas, which is lower in CO2 emissions than coal in China. Democrats opposed to it on extreme ideological grounds, and now they just do anything they can to stop it. the federal government, President Trump, has pushed this forward and will get it approved. I'm convinced of that.
Well, I would certainly like to see that happen. Since you bring up President Trump, we got about a minute and a half here with you. I know that a lot of my listeners have been concerned about the ORP, that it's been infused with never-Trumpers. And I know that some of them who are still in elected positions as county chairs or delegates, they were some of the never-Trumpers. But even if you put them aside, there were a lot of people within the Oregon Republican Party that were, at best, very cool on Trump. I mean, our most recent gubernatorial candidate, Newt Bueller, was very anti-Trump to begin with. What can you tell us there within the mood of the ORP? Have they finally come around on Trump?
I think that the support for President Trump is above 90% easily. There's no meetings where people are hemming and hawing about the president. They're enthusiastically supportive of him. You can go to any of these meetings and you can see that. The state party leadership enthusiastically in support of President Trump. I was a delegate for President Trump in 2016. And look, a lot of people had, when there were 17 candidates, had different flavors of candidates, and they were unsure about President Trump at that time. They thought potentially maybe he wasn't that conservative. He had some history of maybe not being that conservative, but you know what he proved? I was at the national convention when the people working on the platform were told, President Trump said, at that time, not President Trump, but candidate Trump, put it in the platform and I will do it. What did he do? He did it.
Yes. Well, as so true in life as well as politics, actions always speak louder than words. And he has certainly been a true supporter of conservative agenda. Kevin, thank you so much for your time. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you for having me on, Mark.
That is all of our time for today. It is time to wrestle power away from these Democrats who have a stranglehold on the state. But it's going to take you, everyone, to do it. To vote in the primary, you need to be a registered Republican. If you want to vote for party leadership at the county and then at the state level, you need to be a precinct committee person, PCP, and get involved in your county party. Or if you are really sick and tired of what the Democrats are doing, maybe it's time to run for office. Check out this week's show page on our website, iSpyRadio.com. We'll have some more information to point you in the right direction. And if we don't have what you're after, just ask and then take action. Because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.